Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gentlemen, welcome to episode 145 of Getting It Out podcast. That was Ironed Out from England with Ain't Raw. That's off of their new album, We Move as One. It just came out on GSR Music. It's a very, very refreshing take on hardcore. It reminds me a lot of E-Town Concrete's The Renaissance. Not necessarily just because there's rapping on it, though that does have a lot to do with it. It just feels very soulful, a very soulful hardcore record. And you don't get that. You don't get that very often. Few bands can execute that well, and Ironed Out has established themselves as one of them. I had one of their vocalists, Lewis, on I don't know what episode it was, maybe around episode 50, I want to say. So about 100 episodes, Lewis came on to speak about their first record, In These Ends. But I'd have to say that We Move as One is a pretty large step forward, and it's a great sound. So go check that out. Also, when you're done checking that out, when you're done listening to the band, you can listen to the band talk. They do a great podcast called Everyone But Us. It feature a lot of musicians from the UK and worldwide, really. And they got a nice insight, and they're good at what they do there as well. So look them up. Ironed Out, We Move as One, GSR Music, and the Everyone But Us podcast. Now, what's happening on this episode of Getting It Out podcast? On this episode, I've got Buddy Armstrong. You might know Buddy Armstrong's name, and you might not. He's been in a couple bands, and he also runs a record label. But today, we're predominantly talking about that record label, though we did slip in a little bit of band stuff. He was in Stigmata, he was in Bulldog Courage, probably some others. We didn't hit those. But today, we're predominantly talking about Unbeaten Records, the record label he's had 6 years in the making that keeps producing hits. All right, not hits, but you know what I mean. So we're going to get into all that. And that's that. That's what's happening on this episode, so stick around. First, listen to Hot Zone. Enjoy Hot Zone. Love Hot Zone. You know you love Hot Zone. So here it is. The greatest thrash band in the world from New Jersey, Hot Zone.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Zone, back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? He said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. He said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out! Alright motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, J Money, and LFTW forever!
Okay, so here we are, another episode, another moment to tell you things that you don't particularly care about, but they've been on my mind. The president, Donald J. Trump, was just essentially in my backyard, which is very annoying because of traffic and the fucking t-shirt stands or flag stands. It's flag stands, right? Everybody wants to have a Trump flag. And I kind of laugh at the Trump flags. Because they are, I mean, I don't kind of laugh. I genuinely laugh at the Trump flags. They are pretty funny. It's got to be intentional, right? I saw one that said Trump Fight Club, and it had a, and it was like a bunch of shirtless guys, like shirtless Brad Pitt, but with Trump's head on it. That's fucking funny. And then on the back had like other presidents, like Abraham Lincoln was in his entourage, and Pence was back there as a shirtless guy. And look, I don't like him either, but that's a funny fucking flag, all right? I wish, maybe I would like Joe Biden more if there was Biden Fight Club flags that I could fly in front of my house to my wife's dismay. Maybe I would, but probably not. But anyway, so there was all that going on here on, I think that was Monday. Monday at like 1:30, he was right down the road from me. I'm saying maybe it's a mile down the road. It's like right here, okay? So he was standing there, and he did a speech. I only saw a brief clip of it on the news, and there was Amish people behind him because, of course, there's Amish people all over this fucking area, and they're the worst. It was like you could have, like, I know it's an easy thing to say, like you could have bombed that place, and I would be happy. But the Amish were there too. We really missed an opportunity to get rid of a lot of undesirable people. I don't even mean the Trump supporters. If you're a Trump supporter, fine. I don't like that, but that's fine. You can do that. That's up to you. It's an odd choice, in my opinion, but you're not alone, obviously. There's a lot of you. In fact, I think you're going to win again. But anyway, I don't want to get too all into that, but the Amish were there. The point is that the Amish were there. We had a chance to eradicate them, and we didn't take it. And I'm not all for genocide. I'm not all for genocide. I'm probably not for any genocide, but, you know, when opportunity knocks, you got to answer, right? And I'm not advocating any violence towards anyone at all. I just think there's an opportunity for an accident here and there, and we need to take it because the Amish people, their dogs, I don't know what their dogs are doing. I meant to say their horses. Their horses are shitting all over the roads around here. And if you don't live here, you don't understand what that means. And I don't know why I swerve around a poop pile in my car, because what do I care what happens to my tires? That shit will be off there. But I don't know. I don't want to drive through mountains of horse manure. This is reality in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And if you're listening from like, I don't know, fucking Tucson, Arizona, you might be like, dude, what the fuck kind of world are you living in? But this is true. There's horse shit everywhere around here. I've had a real issue with this for a long time. Going back 3 years, you could hear me talk about this on the podcast. But by the way, coming up on 3 years as a podcast, that's a lot of wasted time, huh? I was looking at analytics today on the podcast, and I saw people listening to the first few episodes this week. And I'm sorry, you don't have to do that. What I do now is a little bit different from what I was doing then. At least I'm talking to somebody else, right? But back then it was like 15-minute episodes of me just saying things, which is like basically what happens at the beginning of every episode now. It's basically, the old episodes are basically just the beginning of the new episodes, which is probably the worst part. So, you know, at least I have the self-awareness there. Speaking of self-awareness, I've been listening to a lot of nu metal lately. And some of that, I got to say, is... or has been encouraged by listening to the Meat Meat podcast. If you haven't checked that out, please do. It's a fantastic podcast about Roadrunner Records, basically. Releases that came out on Roadrunner Records. The guy, Ryan, takes some time to talk to some people about certain releases. You know, like there was one on Madball where he talked to Howie Abrams. Matt Henderson was part of it, too. What was the one I was listening to the other day? Like Buzz Oven, Soar. There's the one that came out today, which was, we had Reese Fulber from what the Frontline Assembly. Anyway, it's kind of all over. There's some obscure ones. What was Soma City? Is that Kevin Salem? Was that guy's name? I think it was. Listened to that the other day. Anyway, my point is, good podcast. You should check it out. Okay. Now, why that has to do with this is Roadrunner Records is home to a lot of nu metal. Right, and I just happened to be moving stuff back in from the storage unit, and it's in my garage, and I've got this idea I've been talking about to listen to all my CDs, and I'm on the nu metal bin. I'm on the Roadrunner Records bin, basically, and it's a lot of it. What do I got sitting right here? I got right beside me as I speak. Let me list off this this lineup of records, which I'm sure you will be impressed with. Right on the top here is Nonpoint Development, which I don't really remember. I must have got this when I was on the way out of listening to nu metal. I'm not sure what year it came out. It looks like the art was done with a photocopier, which is weird. It's on MCA Records. They should have done better than that. I got a Pressure 4-5, Burning the Process. The big hit there was Beat the World. Still a good hit. Workhorse Movement from Roadrunner Records, the Sons of the Pioneer. Different sounding band, for sure. Is that an obscure Roadrunner ones? I don't know. Methods of Mayhem, self-titled. Tommy Lee doing rap. Mostly Naked. It's awful. I listened to that earlier today. It's pretty bad. It was awesome. Nonpoint Statement. Now, this one, 100%. I listened to this earlier today, too, and I know that one pretty well. And then the surprise hit that I didn't know I had, but I listened to this morning as well, and I was very pleasantly surprised. Alien Ant Farm Anthology. You know what, man? I know people like to shit on this band. And I understand why, but I also understand that there's some good songs on that record, and I kind of enjoyed listening to it first thing this morning. First thing, of course, after I had finished listening to Project 86, Drawing Black Lines. Are you familiar with this band? I know they were a Christian band. I bought this CD when I saw them with POD, Zao, and Living Sacrifice, which is like an all-Christian thing. It was a place near here called, it was like Lebanon, Pennsylvania. They did this festival called Purple Door, which is like it's the only time I ever went. It was right when POD made it big and was like, all right, let's go see this. It's local. And then there was a couple other bands that were all right. And I remember buying this there and I listened to it and I thought, you know, this might be the best Christian nu metal record. And I've heard some arguments so far. And all of them are wrong. It is. I've established it as the best Christian nu metal record. And it's the king until somebody can prove otherwise. It's not a big niche, I guess. Maybe it is. I don't know. I've never been into the Christian music per se, but then I got proved wrong earlier too. So maybe, I don't fucking know. Anyway, Project 86. And what else I got going on here? I'm going to do some Slaves on Dope, a little Drain STH, which is more of a rock band, From Zero. And then I'm going to suffer through Power Man 5000 tonight, The Stars Revolt. So that's been my listening lately. You know, last week we were talking about Voivod. This week we were talking about fucking nu metal. Whatever, man. I like having the mixed up the mixed up taste, the varied taste, and a wide palate when it comes to music. Everything else, nah, I'm pretty narrow. But with music, yeah, let's go all over the place. But I have to admit, I've been kind of cheapening it by listening to podcasts at the same time as I've been listening to these records. And to some people, that might sound a little ridiculous, but to me, it's very easy. You just put one louder than the other, whichever one you want to hear more. Usually it's the podcast goes louder. And I've been catching up on a lot of podcasts I really like, and I want to mention them here because you obviously listen to podcasts, so I want you to make sure you're checking out Up the Blunks. I got all caught up there. Up the Blunks, they probably have a new episode coming out this week. Check out the last one they did with Rena from Bat Guy. It's a good episode. What else did I hear? I've been catching up with my fellow local podcasters in Two Beats Off. Two Beats Off podcast they had on. Well, the last episode was with Michael McDermott, who's a drummer for Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Bouncing Souls, Murphy's Law, a whole bunch of other bands. That was a cool and funny episode. They did one with guys from Timeshares, I think is the name of the band, who I'm not even familiar with that band, although I do think I saw them once at the Charm City Art Space with Just Die. That's my anecdote for that one. But anyway, I've listened to those guys do a good job with their interviews. They got a couple people going on. It's an interesting dynamic compared to what I do, where it's just one-on-one, me asking a little bit of robotic questions. They mix it up and make it a little more fun. I admire that. They're doing a good job. So check out Two Beats Off. Punk rock oriented. Maybe you can call some of the shit emo. Maybe it's just rock and roll. I don't know. But go check that out. What else? I listened to some Joe Rogan episodes because I do like Joe Rogan. But I haven't listened to him in months, maybe half a year. But I saw he had Maynard James Keenan from Tool on. I always find that semi-interesting, though also kind of boring. It's like a Tool album, you know? It's kind of like listening to the band. Sometimes it's awesome, and sometimes it's like, oh, I forgot I was listening to this. But that was all right. But the good one that I listened to was with Kanye West, who is going to be our next president, hopefully, because he sounds like the most reasonable choice at this point. I wish I hadn't already voted, because... I take back my vote and I'd vote for Mr. West because he's, I don't know. Maybe, no, that's, we can't do that. We can't vote for Kanye West. Even though it sounds exciting and it'd be like, what, let's see what happens. We already did that. We just did that. And now things didn't work out so well. Well, we didn't do it. I didn't do it. Other people did it. You know what I'm trying to say. Okay. So what else? Post America podcast is always good. That's the guys in Wisdom and Chains. I genuinely appreciate their perspective most times, and it's funny. They've had a variety of guests on through this pandemic thing, and that's very cool. Some of them are just straight up by themselves, and that's also cool. Also very enjoyable. What else? Is there anything else? I don't think there's anything else. You don't want to hear me talk about how I listen to NBA shows, and right now I'm listening to Alex Jones' interview with Joe Rogan, and that's always fucking hilarious. I think we need to listen to the crazy people. Okay, we don't need to side with them, but we do need to hear them. I want to know who I'm arguing against, all right? That's why I watch Fox News. That's why I watch CNN too, because, you know, the left is fucking crazy as well. Don't worry, I put myself on the left, but, you know, the God damn, I hate this. You know what's annoying is that this has to be a sensitive subject. It's not a fucking sensitive subject. Everybody's acting like idiots, all right? Everybody's hyping up fucking every little argument into some like character defining stance that I think is unfair. I think I should be able to say something that you don't agree with without being kicked off of your team. It's so fucking dumb that we all got to walk this dumbass line. And if you're in the middle, then you're on the other side. It just depends which way you're looking at them. And it's fucking dumb. It's exhausting. And that's why, you know, that's why people like me bowed out for so long. I don't even say that proudly. I'm just saying that as truth. Here's a little insight for you about me. When I was a kid, I used to go out to family dinners periodically, every now and then. And there were certain family members who were, you know, Republican. There were certain family members who were Democrat. And every single time we went out, there were arguments. Well, they wouldn't say. They'd say we're not arguing. They would get annoyed at me because I would get annoyed at them. They would sit there and argue the entire dinner. And I fucking hated it. It was a kid, and I just listened to, and this was kids and adults, arguing politics. And I come from a family who, you know, my grandfather was a politician. My grandfather was a congressman. And it was just constant fucking politics, or at least it felt that way. At least it felt that way every time we would do this one thing. And I hated it. And so for that reason, I stayed out of it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And I'm worried that, well, all right, so I should say I only started getting involved because obviously that's not the right way to handle it, but because it got so bad, you know? And it's just getting fucking annoying again. Now I have more of a responsibility because I'm an adult. I'm a parent, you know, but I don't know. It's disheartening. It's exhausting. And it just feels like I'm sitting at Red Lobster again, wishing I could go home and get away from all this fucking stupid arguing. But you can't. You can't now. It's everywhere. But hopefully in less than a 1 week's time, today's Wednesday, I'm recording this. So in 1 week's time, this should all dissipate a little bit at least. Or it starts to fucking escalate. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Enough. Jesus. Why I come in here bumming everybody out before we get into this cool interview with Buddy Armstrong from Unbeaten Records. Yeah, baby. Did you fall asleep on me? What am I doing? Let's move on. Let's change the mood at least. Let's go with a song from my favorite Unbeaten Records release of the year so far. It's from Orthodox. The album's called Let It Take Its Course, and the song is called Look at Me. Check this out, and then listen in as I speak to Buddy Armstrong of Unbeaten Records.
Yeah, man. This is Ben.
This is him. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. How are you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, of course. I'm doing good. I'll be better by the end of the night. I don't know about you. I don't know if are you a sports guy at all?
I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Yankees fan. But
you picked the worst one. That's an awful sport, but that's all right. But I'll know if I win my fantasy football, which is totally, you know, nerd shit, but also sports, yeah. So it's kind of, you know, so that's my big excitement tonight.
We're in baseball fever here in our house with the World Series and everything.
So, yeah, what's that at now? Like 3-2?
Yeah, if the Dodgers win tonight, they win the whole thing. And everybody in my house, you know, for the main, most of us are Yankee fans.
Yeah.
But my wife is from Massachusetts, so her and my youngest son are Red Sox fans. So Mookie went to the Dodgers, so now it's like Dodger fever in the house right now. So
I got you. See, I don't follow much baseball at all, but I do know that apparently Mookie Betts was like the best player in the league, wasn't he? And they gave him up for like nothing.
Yeah, I mean I think in the end he just wasn't happy and he just wanted out. So. But I hate the Red Sox more than anything. So, but being a Yankee fan and whatnot. But anyway, so that's what we got going on. Well, good luck with your whatever.
Yeah, You know, all right. So no, it's all good. That's the look. All right, I'm a Philadelphia fan, and when I say that, I mean like I'm an Eagles fan and I'm a Sixers fan. I don't really give a shit about anything else. When I was a kid, I used to go to a lot of Baltimore Orioles games, but that's because I live like 45 minutes from Baltimore, so that's just, you know, what you did.
Yeah.
But now, like, the Eagles won the Super Bowl like two, three years ago or something, and it was something that I never thought would happen in my life. And ever since then, I don't care. I don't like it's all like it happened. Like, it's not like you spoiled Yankees fans that get to see it every fucking year. Like,
but
this is like
it's
once.
Funny, like the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009, right? That's the year my youngest son was born. So he's 11 now. And the other day he said, I forget when it was, but he said, "Dad, were the Yankees ever good?" Because his whole lifetime, they've never, you know, they've always dropped the ball. They never won anything.
Right. I'm sure like young Lakers fans were thinking the same thing until the Lakers ever good? And like, yeah, Jesus. My daughter who lives in Philadelphia, the Eagles won the Super Bowl when she was I think three, maybe four. Mm-hmm. So she thinks it happens like all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is the first one in 50. Like, we got a long way to go.
For sure, man. That's so fun.
But anyway, we didn't need to get all off on that, but that's all right. I'm glad we did. Because I'm talking to you because you're doing up unbeaten records, right?
Yeah, man. We just finishing up our sixth year. It's going fast, you know what I mean? Trying to figure it out as I go. But, you know, so far, somewhat good, I think, you know?
Yeah, well, I'd say so. I think, I mean, I remember messaging, well, whoever, I assume you, on your Instagram a little while back, like probably a year ago, just to say, like, I like what you're doing. I like what's happened, like the things that are happening on this label. So I didn't know it's been.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I didn't know it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, no. Let's go back a little bit farther. How did you yourself get involved in all of this anyway? Like, where did you come into hardcore?
In hardcore in general.
Yeah.
Or just label stuff in general.
Hardcore.
Hardcore. I grew up in. Just outside of Albany, New York, in a city called Troy, New York.
Yeah.
And I probably always into metal when I was a little kid, and Kiss, like all little kids are, like 9 years old and all that. And then as I got a little older, I'd borrow my older sister's records, like Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult and all that. And that, you know, that was the next step in the ladder, you know?
Yeah.
And then you start going to school, and then all your friends turn you on to crazier shit, you know, like, you know, I don't know, at the time was probably Motley Crue. That was probably the craziest, you know, eighth grade craziness, you know.
Right.
And, you know, just like anything, you look for something a little kookier, a little nuttier, you know, or whatever. But, you know, finally, you know, when the metal bands I was into just didn't make sense anymore, you go looking for something a little more honest. And, you know, you see what your friends are listening to. And Albany was a big hardcore town since I started even figuring out what hardcore was and being told what it was about. There was like shows all the time, and you know, you just wanted to get to them. All my friends who I grew up with who were into music, we all kind of morphed at the same time and got into the same type of music. You know, I feel like the same year we all got guitars for Christmas, you know, and then we all got the same records, and then somebody told us about a show, and then it just kind of went from there, you know. Luckily, we were in an area where, you know, hardcore was readily available, luckily. So.
Who was the big local band at that time?
When I got into hardcore, big local bands, I'd probably say most of them, like when people say, you know, like the 518 hardcore back in the day, it was Albany. The shows were in Albany. And then a scene started to develop in Troy. So yeah. Like the Troy bands, the Troy kids and the Troy bands would go to Albany for shows. And it wasn't like a big united thing. Like Albany kids and Troy kids never got along. So there was like local Albany bands that were big that were doing their thing. But there was big like Troy bands that were doing their thing. And when we kind of got, you know, some people were into it and some of us hated it. So they were like the clean cut, like straight edge kids. And we were like, you know, the scrubby, dirty city kids that were into the more metal side of hardcore, you know?
Sure, yeah.
We were into more like, you know, like Crumb Suckers and stuff like that. And like a lot of the Albany kids were into like Youth of Today. And, you know, it was just a different side of the coin. But I guess if you were saying biggest local band, say from Albany, I would say like at the time I started going to shows in 87. So I'd say there's a band called No Outlet that were big doing their thing. A band called Wolf Pack, they were from Albany. They're big doing their thing. But then from Troy, there were some bigger bands. There's a band called Cranial Abuse who went on to later be Stigmata, who were all friends who we all grew up with. In the 80s, it was like them, a band called Dead End, who are still local guys. Everybody's still in the area. You know, never really got out of the area much, but yeah. There was definitely a lot of music and everybody was playing and everybody was into hardcore. It was definitely like super special time, you know, growing up as a teenager.
That's cool. And I've never been up there for anything, but I think anybody yeah. who's been involved, I mean, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so not that far off, you know, that's where I'm at now. But the farthest north I would ever go to shows, at least in New York, would be the city. But everybody knew, but Troycore is a term that everybody who's been involved for any amount of time is probably familiar with. So it's, you know, there's a style that's recognized, you know, for that area of New York and hardcore. And you yourself spent some time in Stigmata, right?
Yeah, I played bass in Stigmata I think it was like the end of 97 up until, you know, till whenever we always say it's our last show, and then 3 years later we play another one, and then
right.
a year after that we say it's our last show. But from that point on, I've been doing it with them. Yeah, yep.
I can't.
And it was cool. Like you mentioned, like New York City, we were lucky because, you know, we were only like 2.5 hours outside the city. So if bands from the city were making up like weekends, like Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, Albany was always a pretty regular stop. So right. all the big New York City bands who were, you know, they would come up and play Albany all the time. I guess you could say we were like, you know, we were definitely spoiled in that regard, you know. You got to see the first Raw Deal shows and the first Breakdown shows and Crackdown and just like all that stuff that I think a lot of maybe other scenes didn't get to see just because of locale, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, those three bands in particular, I feel like, well, not maybe. No, nah, I was just saying maybe they're kind of, what would they be like, considered like the second or third wave of New York hardcore, which would be a little weird, but when people split hairs like that. But anyway, classic like New York hardcore. You know, that's I think you know, fuck, we can go off on a tangent here, but like Breakdown and Raw Deal, although very similar bands, I think that is the sound that people are talking about when they say New York hardcore. I think it's those bands. That is the sound that people are referring to. And speaking of the city, I was trying to think of when I've seen Stigmata. And the only time that I could remember, I know there's got to be more, is you guys at the Black and Blue Bowl. And I remember Killing Time also played. I can't remember who headlined that year or whatever, but I just remember seeing you guys at Black and Blue Bowl years ago.
Yeah, we played... I think we played 2009, and I think we played 2009. We played. It was
2009
indoors.
Sounds right. That sounds right. It was definitely indoor.
And then 2014, we played, and it was outside at like a brewery.
No, it wasn't Brooklyn. That one.
Those were the only 2 years we played. The 2014 was like Hatebreed doing like Satisfaction.
No. Yeah, this wasn't that. This was like I don't know. I remember Scarhead. I mean, it's kind of typical lineup. Maybe Earth Crisis headlined or something, you know, but it wasn't.
I believe they played. Yep. Yeah. You know, we were lucky enough to get asked to play, and, you know, you don't want to turn something like that down. So we were lucky enough to get asked and to be, you know, be involved in it. That was really cool.
Yeah. And Stigmata is a very well-liked band. And, So I don't know what is the record that people usually are talking about when they mention Stigmata, because I always go to Unto Others, but I don't think that's the one that people.
The one everybody talks about all the time is Hymns for an Unknown God.
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
that came out in, I want to say, 97. It's been out on like a few different labels, but it's always. And then up until recently, until I pressed it on vinyl, you could always find it on CD and stuff. But that's the one everybody goes to. That's the one when somebody says Stigmata, that's the record I feel like everybody always brings up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Well,
Go ahead.
Do Unto Others.
Yeah. That came after that. So that was like, I mean, I was on a couple comps, I think, before that, before Do Unto Others. But Do Unto Others was the first full length that I played on after Hymns. Yeah,
nice. Well, No, you're good. I was looking through. I was listening. I'm doing this thing right now where I'm trying to listen to all my CDs start to finish, it's a fool's errand. It's going to take me months. I don't know what the hell I'm thinking, but I did. But I did it when coronavirus, like lockdown shit started. I decided to do it with my records, and I made it through. Yeah. It took me from March to July, but I got through. So now I decided I'm going to try to do it with my CDs, which is, there's way, way more, you know, there was a thousand records. Now we're talking like thousands of CDs, but anyway, I
do not have the attention span or the patience for that, man, but God bless you.
Oh, it's the only thing I do have attention span for. It's the only thing I do. It's awful. It's terrible. But playing CDs the other day, and I'm moving them all back from storage, right? Because we just did this house renovation, so I'm just going through bins, and I had on Bulldog Courage, and from Heartache to Hatred, and I looked at that and I saw your name in there. I had no idea you played bass in Bulldog Courage. Is that what that was?
I played guitar. I played bass in Stigmata. I played guitar in Bulldog Courage. Yeah, that was we did a full length that Thorpe put out, and then after I had left the band, they had like two songs that they recorded, or three songs, and put out a 7-inch.
Yeah, I got that too. It's got some weird ass cover on it, doesn't it? Dancing with Myself or something.
Yeah, the Billy Idol cover.
Yeah.
Before I left the band, I was like, man, that would be a great cover for us to do. And then when I found out they did the thing, I was like, oh, it's perfect. It came out sick.
Well, that From Heartache to Hatred album, I love that. I remember that was living in Baltimore when that one came out, and I remember a lot of us really gravitated towards that record, and it reminded us a lot of stuff that we were really into at the time.
One of my favorite records like that I ever had anything to do with, you know, those guys in the band like Shane, who's passed away, and Justin, who's passed away already. Those were some of the funnest times, you know what I mean? Those guys were like stand-up comedians, and dude, all we did was laugh all the time, and it just made it that much better. You know, at least we got the record and we got the songs, you know, but it sucks that when you can't go back and be like, hey, you guys want to play a show or something, you know?
Yeah.
just have all those memories, but it's good though. You know, it was like a moment in time, you know what I mean?
Right, and I can tell you from just as a fan of the record, it held up. I had kind of forgotten about it in the mix, you know, but when I put it back in, I was like, oh shit, I still know all the words, and it still sounds fresh, you know. It still sounds like its own thing. Very few bands go that direction in hardcore, you know, or whatever, you know. It kind of crosses over a couple genres, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like Stigmata had been done, and I just had a bunch of other songs that wouldn't fit in. It wasn't like a heavy, you know, stuff I was writing wasn't heavy or anything, you know. And that one day I just literally bumped, when people say I bumped into him on the street, I literally was walking down the street and bumped into Shane. And we got talking about, you know, my band's done. Oh, we're done too, you know, kind of feeling, well, you want to do something? And it was like, yeah, sure. And then a week later, it just started literally that quick. But most people say, yeah, I bumped into that guy the other day, you know, and I literally came around the corner and he was right there, you know. So it's kind of meant to be, you know.
Well, it's a hard guy to miss, huh?
yeah, but I wish I could bump into him again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, so,
I mean, so if you did those bands. Those are the only two that I know of that you did. So if there's only one, sorry, I'm not aware of them. But you said you started Unbeaten Records then, like 6 years ago, right? And I didn't know it's been that long. But
yeah, it went by quick.
what was the beginning? What was the catalyst? How did you decide to do this?
Well, for like the past 20 years or so, I've worked for Merch Now and Equal Vision Records, printing and working in the print shop. And so,
that's what I went to college for. That's all I've ever done is printing.
Hey, man, it's a good living, you know?
That's all right.
But anyway, you know, so just talking with the owner, and then one day we were, you know, just kind of busting chops and stuff. And I was just like, hey, you should let me put out a record, you know? And he was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, if it doesn't work out, then whatever, we'll stop it or whatever. I forget what the conversation was, but he's like, yeah, let's do something. So the first record we put out was this band Lowered AD from Illinois.
Yeah.
And we put out a record from them, and we all just kind of learned together. And, you know, everybody works at EVR, like Dan Sanshaw and everybody, they helped me like crazy, like learning the ropes and just helped me with the day to day. And I couldn't do it without those dudes. And luckily, you know, it's a learning thing. I'm trying to learn as we go. And early on was, you know, a lot of learning. There was a big learning curve, you know what I mean? But I feel like maybe it's coming around. You know, it'll be 6 years. It'll be 6 years, November, or like next week, November 14th or something like that. We start in the seventh year with all other stuff we got coming up. So I'm lucky, you know, that it's gone this far. And
that's cool.
People are into it and buying it. And
I think you know, the first thing that I came across from, and I think it was the Metal Covers compilation.
Yeah, that was the second thing we did.
Okay.
I always, like, when I grew up listening to music and heavy music, I always loved compilations, like even hardcore comps, like, because you got to hear bands maybe you never heard.
Sure.
But I always loved, and what I always loved about maybe live bands that maybe I never heard before, like they just kind of broke the ice with a cover, you know? And I just figured, man, it'd be cool if we could get, you know, because my two favorite things, hardcore, you know, and old metal, if we could put these two together and get bands that maybe they want to cover some old metal songs, and we could put it together on a record. And I just, you know, I had a couple of people in mind, a couple of bands in mind, and then, you know, went down the line and people said, oh, I can get a hold of them or I know him. And then we just luckily got it together, you know. That was the second record we did. It's kind of like, I think of it as like a hidden gem. I feel I wish, you know, it was heard more, because I feel like there's a lot of good stuff on that one, you know. A lot of bands sounding maybe like they don't always sound, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that I really like about it, because it just reminds me of, I think, probably all of us when we were kids, is the cover art you guys did for it, where it's
the
just
notebook.
There's the band names drawn on the notebook. Like, do you know how many fucking notebooks I probably, you know, had like that, and you know, poorly and done recreated artwork.
When we were like, before metal was cool, like when we were younger, friends of ours had a band, and on the back of their shirts, because everybody in Troy would get made fun of for being like metal. And then when metal became cool in like the mid 80s, you know, everybody started to become metal. And on the back of the shirt, it said, I was metal before metal was cool. So that always just stuck with us. We would say that all the time. And you'd see like some poser or something growing up. We were a teenager, be like, yeah, I was metal before metal was cool. And so when I did a comp, I was like, dude, that'd be like the perfect, it sounds crazy out of context, but if you know the story behind it, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. What song do you think? What's your favorite track on that? Who did the best job?
Oh man, I really like.
It's not recent, so it's, you can throw people under the bus.
No, no. I really like the Misery songs, because they took it. You know, they knew what we wanted, and they were like, "Yeah, but we're just going to do this." And nice, I kind of, I like that. I'm like, yeah, fuck, you know, fuck yeah. Not really metal, but I love that band so much, and those covers were great. So I'd say probably the two Misery tunes, the two covers they did, the Faith No More and the Hendrix covers, I thought were really awesome. Downpressor doing Pantera. That is like a dead ringer, that song. It sounds exactly the same. That band is so incredible, and that cover is even better. But, you know, they're all favorites of mine. But I would say those three tunes are probably my favorite. How about you?
Oh, I don't know. You called me on my own shit. I don't know. I don't know what to pick at.
Not sure. That's probably what I would say. Yeah,
that's what I was kind of getting to is that's a cool, like you mentioned, that's a cool way. It's a cool way for a label to break the ice too. With people, because that's sure. I think that was my introduction to Unbeaten, and then of course it's what else is on this, because as you know, that was a way to do it in the past. The cheap ass sampler CDs. I bought them all the time because they were they were fucking $3, and you get a Century Media CD and find 100 bands on it.
The Century Media are the ones you would get in what was that magazine? Oh, like Too Damn Hype, right? Was that the name of the magazine? There you get the sampler in the magazine.
I don't know.
But like, you know, like Victory sampler, you know, sample, all
Victory
that
stuff. Yeah.
When you go to a fest or a show, you'd always end up with a couple different ones. So that was sort of the idea, you know.
And since then you've moved past that almost. Like you've easily you're an established like label that's putting out like high quality records at this point. Like that seemed like a starting point, and now it's like you're pretty well oiled machine, right?
It was definitely a good springboard, you know, to get people introduced, you know, to the label. Only a couple of those bands on that comp ended up being on the label, but. Yeah. It was so awesome. Like, that was never the point of the comp. I just wanted friends of mine who were down to do it and who could do it, you know, like King Nine and, you know, Disgrace and Taylor and those guys. So I'm lucky that those guys were down for helping me out, and it turned out awesome.
Well, one of the things that I really enjoy about Unbeaten Records and you yourself running it is that you're a guy from an older era who's showcasing younger bands, and almost exclusively. I mean, I know you had All Out War and a couple of, you know, other things, but for the most part, it's newer bands with almost a newer, fresher sound. There seems to be like an intentional need to not repeat things that have been done. And I think it's really cool, and especially some of the records you put out, which are all bands I think I've had on here this year: Orthodox, On-Site, 30 Nights of Violence. I got one coming out here soon with Boundaries.
Cool.
All different sounding bands, but all fresh, you know? And so how do you go about establishing who you're going to put out records from?
Well, I guess from the beginning, I always just thought, like, if I'm getting this chance to be able to do a label, you know, I don't necessarily just want to just look back. I don't want to look back and get bands that everybody's heard of already, or just, you know, something that's, you know, I don't know how to say it, but just, you know, let's move forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but bands like All Out War are like timeless, and they're like some of my best friends. And I think, you know, you put out a new record for All Out War in 2020 or 2019, and it's just as fucking badass as something from 1994.
Yeah, you put one out in 2030 too, you know?
Yeah. And it would just be as killer, you know? But I feel like that can be done, you know. I feel like that's not something I want to do. I want to put out bands, you know, I grew up on a hardcore basis, but I don't necessarily just want to put out a hardcore band, you know?
Yeah.
I like music like with a little something more. When, like I said before, when we were younger and people were listening to, like, you know, Crippled Youth, we were listening to, like, Celtic Frost, you know? So just something kind of, you know, right church, wrong pew, you know?
Yeah.
It all kind of falls under the same umbrella, but I just wanted to be able to do something different and hopefully turn people on to something different that they might not have heard of, you know? And I feel like with most of the bands, we've pinpointed it pretty well and it's gone pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just not much on looking backward, you know? I feel like, I don't know, somebody else can, you know? I don't know.
Well, there's plenty of other labels doing that.
Yeah, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
There's people love that, and I love 90% of it too, but it's not just something I want to do, you know? There's got to be a couple more bells and whistles for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's and you've done something by doing that. Like I can tell you,
yeah.
I get asked to interview a fair amount of bands. You know, I don't have to go looking for interviews. You know what I mean? And I always get excited when I see a new Unbeaten request, and almost every time I don't know it's usually on one of the basis of I know the name, but I haven't heard the band yet. But then once I see that it's an Unbeaten Records band, I'm like, oh shit. Well then, you know, that and that's a thing that not many. Well, there's some label, you know. There's labels that there's only certain labels do that for you. You know, where you make a correlation between okay, this because this band's coming off of here, that makes it a little more exciting without hearing it, and to have that 6 years in is pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like the bands that are all on the label or have been on the label all have something in common. Like you can tell, like, oh yeah, they're on Deedon, that makes sense. But I feel like every band brought something a little different along with them. But right. When someone says, oh, what label they're on, and you say on Deedon, you're like, okay, yeah, I get that, you know?
Yeah.
And it might not sound like anything like any of the other bands on the label, but there's just something there, you know, that makes everybody fit in, you know?
Right, right. And so when you're putting out records for, you know, whatever, so we'll say we'll go off the, well, I don't know, you pick any record. What for you is the most exciting part? What do you look most forward to when you're releasing a record? For somebody else.
Yeah, for I'm 50 years old now, and playing shows for me, I just feel like I have no interest in it. So. the excitement and the awesomeness of playing shows and being out doing all that crap, I feel like now is like the label took it over and I get the same kind of vibe from that. You know what I mean? So when I find something that I think is really good and I'm just like, man, I'm going to talk to this guy, or I just saw this band, or I'm going to throw these guys a message and see what's up. It's just like the hunt is always my favorite part. You know what I mean? And just like getting up, talking to a band and feeling them out and see where they're at, or going out to meet them and doing, you know, face to face. I love that part of it. You know what I mean? Try to make like a band happy about talking to you or wanting something to do with the label you're doing. You know, that's always been my favorite part is like, I don't want to say hook, line and sinker, but I love just the thrill of a chase and getting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, that makes sense.
No. I can relate completely because I'm 14 years younger than you, but I'm 36, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to shows either. You know,
like I mean, I love shows. I love all that. But
yeah.
as far as me myself being in a band and wanting to do that, you know, I did it for a long time, and I feel like. You know, I feel like hardcore and that type for the most part is like a youth movement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like for it to be viable and to move forward and to still be like awesome, it's got to be a little different. And I feel like we bring stuff that's maybe a little different. You know?
Absolutely. And what I was saying is that I get a similar. Sense of, you know, a similar feeling of accomplishment the way you're, we just haven't, because all I do now is have these conversations, right? Well, that's all anybody can really do. So to have these conversations and have it go well and have it feel like, you know, the person you're talking to is in it, and then because basically what I'm doing is just I'm just promoting bands that I have no stake in. You know, I just do it because I like doing it.
Yeah.
So when I get somebody who's equally excited to do that as well, it makes it all the difference in the world. It makes it fun for me because otherwise, what's the fucking point? You know what I mean? So I totally understand what you're saying. Where you just getting that back and forth with somebody else. Relate 100%.
Ever since I was a little kid, I was into vinyl, records.
Yeah.
My older sisters had records that made me want to get my own records, for Christmas and my birthday. My parents had an old, those old ass like stereo that's like a piece of furniture that you lift the top up.
Yeah.
So they had that, and they had all these old ass like records from the 50s and stuff in there. And I just would put on anything because I just wanted to play with the stereo,
right.
But I feel like I was like, records, man, I want to know how they're made. I want to know how bands get on them. I want to know how everything about it, And then luckily, how 24 years ago or whatever, I got a job. I was on the sidelines, but I could see like, EVR working. And I was just like, man, I'm just enthralled by it all. You know what I mean? And to be able to like, as a kid, I was just always like, I just want to be able to send some music I made to a label and have somebody write me back. What I mean?
Yeah.
Whether they tell me I suck or whether they say this is bullshit or just say, hey, I got it. I just want a response. You know what I mean? So to be able to hear a band that I'm just like, I have a chance to maybe get some people to hear some awesome music that maybe that they would never hear before. I get psyched. You know what I mean? Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
That makes sense.
It does. It does totally. I've mentioned on here before to other people, but when I was living in Baltimore, I got to be real close to my friend Dom was running A389 Records at the time, and so I got to sit there, and I would always volunteer my time to go over and help him fold 7-inch jackets, pack records, whatever it was, put stickers on shit. Just being part of the process, same as you, just being part of the process of I don't know. How to explain that to people who don't and probably would never give a shit about that type of thing is weird because it doesn't, I don't know what there is exciting about it, but I hear you completely.
I feel like some people had, baseball cards and the culture that went along with that. And I feel like some kids had bicycles and the culture that went along with that.
Sure.
And I feel like a lot of people had records and, record players and stereos and, Cream magazine and Circus magazine and just wanted to know everything about that culture, and anything remotely related to it. And I feel like that's where me and a lot of people I grew up with fell into,
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's a good way to put it too. You mentioned that you had a fair amount of insight and guidance from the EVR guys, but has there been any big missteps that you've made with Unbeaten so far that you've learned from?
I mean, I feel like maybe other than in the very beginning, just really not knowing, maybe how many records we should press in the beginning. What I mean?
Yeah.
Like the first couple releases, maybe we made a little too, basically just that, like, pouring out cups of sugar and seeing how much we really need and how much we don't, what I mean? I feel like in the beginning it was those kind of things, like a learning curve kind of, But I feel like by now it's streamlined pretty well. And, it fits into the machine and it all pretty runs somewhat smoothly, As smooth as it can be. And like I said, I'm completely like, I couldn't do it without anybody over there. So
right.
They definitely, they've definitely held my hand through some stuff. And I appreciate it, couldn't got through it without them. So.
Well, that's a pretty well established group of label to have your back there. Has there been any releases now? How many releases total is there for Unbeaten?
I think out right now maybe there's like 23 and we got or 24 and we got 23. Okay, hold on. We got up to Unbeaten, I think 23 out, and 24, 25, and 26 are set to come out, first, like next year.
right,
with singles leading up to at the end of this year into that. But, you know, we're into our mid-20s, which I sounds like a lot to me. I don't know if that's a lot, but it sounds like a lot.
I'd say so. That's a pretty decent average per year. Has there been any that you feel have gone overlooked, unjustly overlooked?
Well, I feel like the first record from Lowered was like amazing. I think that band is, I still think that record is amazing. And because we were a brand new label and no one has ever heard of us, and like I said, we were still treading water and figuring out exactly how to stay afloat and figure out how it works. I just feel like, you know, I feel like the machine didn't work for it, but just because I didn't know what I was doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like that record is great. And I feel, I know there's people that hit us up and just say they heard it for the first time and they, you know, they love it and all that. So I feel like that's like a diamond in the rough that didn't get its, you know, its due, you know, it didn't get its due, you know, if I had to pick one, I would say that would be it.
I might have to go back and listen to that one because I feel like I have, but at the same time, I don't know it off the top of my head, so I must have missed it.
That's all right.
It's is it hard to? I wouldn't, probably not, because you do a good job of this. But is it hard to have your band stand out with the way music's released now, where it's constant? Like, I get lost in the records that come out, and I do, I'll kiss my own ass here. I do a really good job of staying on top of this shit, and it's hard to do to stay on top of what gets released every week. It's fucking crazy. So how do you stay on top of it?
Of other music, just music in general?
No, of keeping your bands visible.
Oh, gotcha. That's a good fucking question, man. I feel like if you have something good that if you really believe in a release and you know it's got some fucking great songs on there and it's really great, I feel like people are going to feel that and hear that anyway. Mm-hmm. But as far as separating them from other things, man, it's just, you fucking stumped me, man. I really don't know. You know, sometimes it's like throwing up a Hail Mary and sometimes it's like throwing spaghetti to the wall and hoping it sticks. Right. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I'd say, that's kind of the risk with the label, especially like what you're doing is, most of your records now are at least on their second release. Most of your bands are at least on their second release, but some of your stuff, I guess early on when it's bands most people are unfamiliar with, it's a guess, you know, it either sells or it don't. But does it matter for you if the record sells? Not financially. I know it matters financially, but like, for your faith in a band, for your belief in a band, does it matter to you if that record sells?
It does, because if you know, before anybody ever hears, like, say, a certain release, you've already been listening to it for like 6 months, you know?
Right, yeah.
And you're like, there's no way these songs aren't going to hit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this, all these different reasons, man. And we got this host and we got that host that's going to be good. And then, you know, sometimes it's just the luck of the draw. Like, people don't get it. Or like you said, it's tough when there's a ton of other stuff coming out, especially now during the pandemic. All people are doing is releasing music. You know what I mean? So some stuff, I feel, instead of like playing shows, you're getting bombarded with new music and everything all the time, you know? So, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It kind of seems you're A or B with music in the pandemic right now. Some bands I'm talking to are like, fuck it, we're just writing and releasing because we don't know when this is going to end. And other people are saying they want to hold on to it because who knows?
You know? And we kind of took the approach of, you know, what we had in the chamber going into this before, you know, the whole COVID thing happened. We were still going to run with it unless the band didn't want to.
Yeah.
And we tried to take the best steps into getting the songs out there. So far, we put out, I think, two or three things since COVID came out, and they all did good. We did the 30 nights right at the beginning of this. We did,
I think on site would have been the beginning, yeah. Because I remember doing interviews with 30 nights on site and Boundaries since, I think, I think Orthodox was earlier in the year. Yeah.
And Boundaries comes out on the 13th, so Friday the 13th. So, you know, there was definitely some stuff happening. We just released a single by a band called Regrown from New Jersey, who is, like I said before, like, they sound nothing like any other Unbeaten band. They're basically like a pop punk band. Okay. Like, they're I say pop punk because I can't, you know, it's not what you would typically think, like pop punk. It's like I'm trying to think of the best explanation. They're like a Promise Ring meets like a little sprinkle of like hot water music, and then a little bit of like Old Saves the Day, kind of with a teeny little bit of Lifetime in there, maybe, you know. A
lot of New Jersey.
Yeah, tons of, they're from New Jersey. Yeah, they're definitely Jersey sounding, but they're great. And like I said, that, I mean, a band like that and a band like, you know, Left Behind or Orthodox don't sound anything alike. But when you say all those names in the same sentence and say they're on beat, it kind of makes a little bit of sense, you know.
It does
to me, anyway.
It does, and but it makes sense in the. I haven't heard Regrown yet. I did see that announcement, but I haven't heard it.
Yeah, we put out one single, and we got some other stuff coming up. So check it out.
I will, for sure. And like you said, though, the thing with or like you and I both said, the thing with Unbeaten, though, is that those bands they don't have to all sound the same. I think that's a thing that you've kind of established with this label so far, is that I don't know what it is. There's like a similarity, but it's not necessarily sonic.
Yeah.
Like there's just a fresh thing.
I didn't want to put out a bunch of bands. You know, I love all different types of music within, you know, hardcore, metalcore.
Yeah, but how many motherfuckers, you know, pop, with a beat down hardcore band that are trying to put out a record right now? We all know 1,000 friends in beat down hardcore bands that's borderline suck, that, you know, want their records put out.
I love beat down. I love that stuff, but it's, you know, it's not something that I was going to, it's not something I was going to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't mean anything. It just means something I wasn't going to do, you know. You know, but I don't know. I'm just happy to have, you know, try to stay humble and keep moving and keep my head down and keep trying to put out stuff that people like, and you know, pray for the best.
Well, you've done great so far. We'll wrap up here in a couple minutes, but you got, like, let's see, the rest of this year. You said, well, I don't know what's going to air first, this or Boundaries. So we'll see. But the Boundaries comes out, you said, Friday the 13th?
Yep, November 13th. I'm sure you'll hear this after this, but they have a new video coming out tomorrow, the 27th, and then the single will be streaming everything on the 28th, but I'm sure that'll all happen before you hear this. So, and then the record comes out the 13th, and then we got Regrown coming up. There's a new Purgatory LP coming out, which is all done and all wrapped up, and it's fucking insane, and that'll be coming out probably the first half of next year, with a single coming out the end of this year.
Nice. They're a very cool band too.
Yeah, man, they're like one of my favorites, you know. Just like I said, I like all different kinds of music, and in the type of music they play, they're definitely my favorite, you know.
Yeah,
they remind me a lot of where I grew up and the people I hung out with and the bands that came out of where I lived, you know. It's real similar.
Yeah,
so,
I hear that.
We kind of bonded early, you know.
Well, that's very good. Cool. Is there anything that you want to do with Unbeaten that you haven't been able to get done yet?
You know, I guess starting the label, I never really had like an ending point, or or just like, okay, this is what we're striving for. I just wanted to be able to put out a record and then put out another, you know. I was like, one thing at a time. I just wanted to get my hands dirty and putting out records. And I feel like you know, like I said, I just always try to stay humble and put out the music and hope the music speaks for itself. You know, we got a good team, and, you know, as far as doing something that I haven't done yet, you know, I don't think so. I think every new thing we do and everything that gets a positive response is all enough reason to keep it going. And if it does well and it's successful, then that's gravy. You know what I mean? As long as we're able to put out music, then I'm happy, you know, and the bands are happy. If the bands are happy, then I'm happy. And, you know, if all the powers that be are happy, then I'm stoked, you know. As far as an apex, I don't have one. You know what I mean?
That's good.
To be blunt, you know, I just want to keep doing. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a fantastic answer, and I can tell you that every band that I've talked to that's been on Unbeaten, I think your name has come up each time. And I didn't know you before now, really don't now, just, you know, from this conversation. But every band has sung your praises and said how good it is to work with you and how easy it is to work with you. And that's evidenced by the attitudes of all of every member of your band, because everybody doesn't talk that nicely about their record label guy, you know. So you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate that, you know. Everybody on the label is kind of like, is like a family, you know what I mean? I feel like we really get to know each other before we really dig in. And to put out music, that's awesome, is one thing, but to be cool people and to be friends with bands that you put music out with, I think is worth its weight in gold. And, you know, I got the same love for everybody and all the bands, past and present, on the label. And I just hope for a good future. You know?
Well, I hope the same for you too. And thanks for doing this, buddy. I really appreciate your time.
Hey, man. I appreciate you giving me a call and caring. I appreciate that.
Of course. Anytime, literally, right, anytime. Bro. Anytime you got something to promote, you let me know. We'll take care of it.
That sounds great, man. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Nice meeting you. Take it easy.
Yep. Bye. Breaking, mental mission, rising, suffering, waiting, through the glass I can see.
Your mind.
There you go. That was my conversation with Buddy of Unbeaten Records. The song there at the end was from 30 Nights of Violence called Lost in Your Light off of their record You'll See Me Up There. That also came out earlier this year. I know we mentioned a couple of releases that came out this year. There was On Sight. There was Boundaries. Well, there is Boundaries. That'll be coming up soon. That'll be, as I mentioned in the interview, that'll be an upcoming episode as well. There was Orthodox, 30 Nights of Violence. I think that might be it for this year, but that's a pretty good run. So keep an eye out for what they got coming next on Unbeaten and beyond. Just keep an eye out. How about that? Have some awareness of new music. It's all you got to do right now. You don't got to worry about going to shows. You just got to worry about listening to new stuff or maybe revisiting old stuff. Or maybe you need a guide. Huh? How would you do that? Maybe you need somebody to tell you what's good, what's bad, what's indifferent. If only there was a website. Well, there will be one day, eventually. Gettingitout.net will be there for you to guide you in all your music needs. So please, bookmark it now, gettingitout.net. It is coming, I swear to God. It has been 10 months that I've been telling you this. It really has. I know that. I've been keeping track. 10 months. But it's happening. So be on the lookout for that. Until then, go to @getting_it_out_podcast on Instagram and give it a follow. Go to facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. What else is there? @gettingitoutpod on Twitter, though it's rarely used. And that's about it. There is a phone number I think you can call. No, you know what? There probably isn't anymore. I haven't kept up with that, so I'm sure Google took that away from me. But it was at one point. Useless information for you at this point, I know, but that's all right. That's going to be it for this one, I guess. I got another cool one coming up, a couple cool ones coming up. So we're going to end the year strong, I think, with Getting It Out podcast, and I'm excited about that. So without further ado, ado is a French word, I believe. I don't know. I'm just saying that. It sounds French. I'm going to play a French word song here at the end. Do you remember the band Fuck the Facts? I do. I didn't know they were still around, but they got a new record coming out. So there's a song from Fuck the Facts that I'm going to play called Ailleurs, which I believe means elsewhere. And when I say I believe means, that means I looked it up on Google, and that's what it says. So it's off their new album. Oh, I should have looked this up. Plein Noir. And don't worry if that wasn't correct. I have no idea how to speak French. Though when you look at me, you might think that guy knows how to speak French. He looks like a France speaker. I hope not. I feel like there's negative connotations with that kind of tag. But anyway, that should be it for this one. Let's play Ailleurs from Fuck the Facts. And it's a quick one. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. That's it. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.